Bibles, please. Nothing new today, but God laid this on my heart. Leviticus chapter number 18, the book of Leviticus chapter number 18, and a message. There's two messages, really. There's two doctrines, teachings in the Word of God that is not, I don't want to say shunned, but yet just forgot about. We don't want to mention these things. You know, we our flesh, I'm talking to saved people now. We have a battle between the spiritual man that's on the inside, that's perfect, amen, and then we still have this Adamic nature, this flesh, and the Bible said they war against the other, and one wants to go one direction, one wants to go the other direction, but we have to decide which direction, who we're going to follow. You're going to follow the Lord, or you're going to follow your flesh, amen. So there's two things in the Word of God that people don't, they shy away from. Preachers are shying away from them. And that's the doctrine of repentance and then the doctrine of holiness. We want to shy away. Now, I'm not preaching on repentance, but I do believe the Bible teaches repentance. Amen. Repentance means you change your mind about it. Your heart gets in on it. And you change directions. A lot of people say they make a profession, but they never repent. They never change directions. I think that's a false salvation. Amen. There's a change comes in salvation. Salvation comes. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And I'm not preaching sinless perfection. God forbid, I'd be up here lying to you. The Bible said, these things write in you, little children, that you sin not, but if you do, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, God doesn't want us to sin. God's people, we're not sinless, but we should be sinning less. Attack those areas that our flesh is weak in and deal with it. Daily. Right. Daily. You have to, every morning you got to get up and make a decision. Nobody separates unto God by accident. Right. It doesn't just happen. Well, I'm saved, so all this ought to be easy. Folks, you still have the flesh and the devil and the world. Right. So therefore, every morning we got to get up and get with God. Right. Say, Lord, I'm deciding that I'm going to do what you tell me to do and what this book says. I'm not following my flesh. I want to follow you and make a conscious decision, ask God for grace and strength, and go about your day with that in mind. Every situation, everything that comes your way, in that day, you make a decision. I'm going to handle it. I'm going to do it Christ-like. I'm going to be an example. I'm going to be what I ought to be. Sometimes we fail in that. And we have to go back, and those times we have to confess our sin. Lord, I said it for a thought. I let that thought dwell in my mind too long. See, we can't help what bird flies over our head, but we can help him from making a nest in it. And we battle that. But hey, God's people, every day we make it because their flesh, the devil, and the world is pulling us. Pulling us. And so therefore we have to say, Lord, I don't want to go that way. I know where that way leads. I know what it's all about. I'm not going that way. And Lord, give me the strength and the help and the grace today. You know what you do the next day? The same thing. You do the same thing the next day and the next day and the next day. And you begin to live and walk in the Spirit. Now notice these verses. I didn't preach. That's sermon number one. In Leviticus 18, let's read these together. And I don't know what heading, we're King James only here, but what heading you may have in a certain study Bible you have, but mine says the law of human relationships. God set forth a law for His people. Now, I understand He's talking to Israel here, and I'm not trying to put the church in Israel, but by application. Because we can read in the New Testament, and the Lord said in Ephesians 4:17, walk not as other Gentiles walk. In essence, that's the same thing he said to these, to his people here in Leviticus. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, listen to me, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. In other words, he said, Moses, remind them who their God is. Then remind them also who their Lord is. Where the Lord is a title of authority. He said, I'm the Lord their God. He said, I am their authority. Hey, I'm thankful God is my authority. Because I don't have enough sense to lead myself. He said, after the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, shall ye not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do, neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. Ye shall do my judgments and keep my ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. Look at verse 5. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. Now, I'm coming back. Don't miss your place there. But I want to jump over to chapter 20 and read one verse, verse 26. He said, ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy. I have severed you from other people that ye should be mine. Now, the Lord made it clear. He gave Moses the word to give the children of Israel. So in this text, here's what the Lord is commanding. He's commanding a twofold separation for his people. A twofold separation. What are you talking about, preacher? Well, if you'll notice in verse 3, he told them, don't do what the Egyptians do. Don't do what the Canaanites do. In other words, their doings. That's what he said. D-O-I-N-G-S. Their lifestyle, their ways, their gods. He said, I don't want you around it. Amen. So the first phase is, number one, separate from the world. That's what he's telling them. Get away from it. That's what he's teaching them. That's the problem today in the age of grace. Oh, we got grace and we got God's love. But yet he still said in the New Testament, he quoted from the Old Testament and put it in the church, be ye separate, come out from among them, be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing. So there is the first aspect of the separation. Separate from the world, but then in verse 4 and 5, separate unto God. You shall do my judgments, keep my ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. And he goes on to say, you shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. So there it is. Separate from the world, separate unto God. That's what he's teaching them. That's what God told Moses to teach his people. I don't want you fooling with the Egyptians, a type of the world. I don't want you fooling with the Canaanites, a type of the world. I don't want you to be involved in what they worship, how they live, how they look, how they act. I want you to be different. I want there to be an extinct difference when they see you. When they see you, how you look, how you speak, how you conduct business, and who you worship. I want there to be a difference. I want it to be a noticeable difference. I don't want it to be a hidden difference. We got too many hiding their Christianity today. Oh, I'm saved, but I'm not a fanatic. Hey, separating is just a simple act that God asks us to do. And he requires holiness. Folks, we live in a time, when I was growing up, the Lord just put this on my heart. When I was growing up, when I'd get a whipping, I never got a spanking. I got a whipping. And every time that I got one, I knew why. I knew what I had done. No question. Hey, now, don't get me wrong. I tried to say I didn't. But I knew I did. It was fresh. Here's the problem with the chastening rod of God in this day, and you can believe me or not, but God's people in this day have walked in the flesh. And see, God's wheels of chastisement may turn slow, but they turn. So they're thinking that, well, you know what? I'm living in the flesh. I'm not separate. I'm not living right. I don't go to church right. I'm not living for God. And they go for a time, and they think, well, you know what? This must not be wrong. And they get the mindset that everything's all right. But then the chastening comes, and they don't even realize that God is chastening them for their life. They don't know. I've seen it. Now, I have a problem with telling people, you know what? God's whipping you. But if you belong to God, if you get in His Word and you say, Lord, is this happening because I have did something? There's something in my life that I have omitted, something I have forsaken in Your service, something I have quit in Your aid, my bitterness, my anger, or whatever it may be, my carnality. Is it something with me? And I promise you, the Holy Ghost will tell you. See, we're walking so far away from God, and God showed us His mercy, and we won't get it right, and then He brings chastisement, and we don't even know that's what it is. We're walking afar off, and we can't hardly hear His voice. We're walking out of fellowship with God, and God shows us mercy, trying to love us back in to fellowship. And way, hey folks, if you were closer to God last year than you are today, you're backslidden. And then when chastisement comes, we don't even realize that's what it is. I've seen it, folks. I've been pastoring this church for almost 28 years. I've seen it, and I see when people don't even see. Hey, your life used to be, and you've drifted. Whatever the circumstance, whatever the problem, whatever the situation, it has caused your heart to get away from God. You go through the motions, but yet you are not doing that which God purposed you to do, that you used to do, and you ain't. Then when trials come, probably you don't even know it's the work of God trying to woo you back into fellowship. That's where we are. Israel got that way. So holiness. What does it mean to be holy? What's God talking about? Well, let me look at my notes here. The term holy, sanctify, consecrate, dedicate, and saint. Let me say that again. The terms holy, sanctify, consecrate, dedicate, and saint are translated from the same Hebrew Greek word in the Bible. The basic meaning of holiness is to be set apart for God's purpose. That's what He told them in chapter 20, verse number 26. Ye shall be holy unto Me. See that separation? Separate unto God. Separate from the world. Separate unto God. Ye shall be holy unto Me. For I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people, that you should be Mine. That's what holy means. To be set apart for God's purpose. Holiness is connected with righteousness and moral purity. Paul said it like this in Romans 6:19. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Paul said in Ephesians 4:24, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. The basic, to be set apart for God's purpose. I'm going to ask you this. Again, this Spirit of God speaking to me. Right now, is your life set apart unto God that He can use you for His purpose? Is your life right now as you're sitting here, is your life separate unto God that he might speak to your heart and use you in a particular way. And folks, we all, when we got saved, we all become soul winners. We'll be telling about Christ. But a particular thing. My church has heard this. But I was saved in August of 1983. I was about 13. I got born again. And when school started, I'd done well for a little while, but then I began to drift. And for, I don't know, four years, I was a Christian, but I wasn't separated unto God. I had an addiction to 80s music. I didn't pray, didn't read my Bible. I was one of those that had to ask his mama, "Where's my Bible on Sunday?" I am one that has had to take a napkin or a Kleenex and wipe the dust off of it. Where back in those days, you know, you could lay your stuff in the back window. They had that little thing. That's where I'd throw it. That's where he'd be. I went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I went to Sunday school. But my heart wasn't in it. But the day came, God put me in a place where he could deal with me. And folks, I promise you, God was chastening me. God was exposing me in some things. And I didn't realize at the time, man, God is dealing with me about my life. And God put me in a place. Put me on a job, on a second shift job, and then I was all by myself during the day. Daddy and mama went home, my sisters went home, my wife was still in high school, all by myself, all day. He began to work on me. He began to work on me on my drive from work and from work to home. He got to me first about the music. And I started listening to gospel music. I knew all this. My mom was saying, "Go." I knew all the songs. I knew all the groups. Our vacation growing up was in Bryson City at Inspiration Park. I knew them all. I could sing them all them Southern gospel songs. I knew them. Back then, Big Waggy in Gaffney, 105.3. They've sold it. During the day, they played country or something, but after a certain time, they played gospel music all through the night. And that's why God began to deal with me on that. Then, hey, and I didn't understand. I began to read my Bible, began to repent of sins. God was working on me. And I've had to apologize to young men that I went to high school with that wasn't saved. I was saved, but I was living like they was. I had to get it right with them. It wasn't long then. One day I was reading my Bible during the day all by myself. Just me and the Lord. He spoke to me through his word. "I want you to preach. I want you to preach." Hey, I thought it was a joke. I tried to laugh it off. And everywhere I turned, God spoke to me through his word. The burden got so strong. It was almost like when I was under conviction to be saved. I was in a mess. But I finally surrendered to the will of God for my life. Taylor said he preached 9.5 minutes Wednesday night. I said, "You beat me, I preached 7. My first sermon, I got it on VHS. I hid it, don't know where I hid it. I didn't want nobody to see it. Now I kind of like for Taylor to see it so he won't feel so bad about himself, because I promise him and Will done a whole lot better Wednesday night than I did my first sermon. I don't even think I owned a suit yet. Had one of them ties, like cotton ties, sock ties. You know, they cut right off. It's about this wide, and mine stopped about right there. That's all I had. My poor mama felt sorry for me, and we went to J.C. Penney and got some suits. But I said all that to say this. I was saved, but I wasn't holy. I wasn't living separate unto God. I want to say something to you. This message is going a whole different direction. I want to say something to you. Everybody here, you breathe it. The Lord has got you here for a reason. Nobody's here by accident. Nobody's here. Hey, God allowed you to be born. He has a purpose for you. And as long as we're unseparate, unholy, living through the flesh and carnality in the world, God can never fulfill His purpose that He has for you as long as you're living over there. God had a purpose for my life, but He could not fulfill it. Because I was the holdup. I was the problem. But He finally dealt with me, got me by myself. I look back at all that. God ordained every bit of it. God set it up so He could deal with me. We didn't have cell phones, internet. I'm talking about 1989. At my house, we still had 3 channels. You couldn't get them good. There wasn't nothing to distract me. We lived out in the country around where Brother Quentin them lives. We actually would be his neighbor. 1 truck come by 2 or 3 times a day. What was his name? Mr. Morris? No, Brother Morris is daddy. I thought he was 150 then. I preached his funeral a few years ago. But he was neighborhood watch. That Ford Ranger, he'd come through there doing about 4 miles an hour, checking everything out. That was the only car, vehicle, that come around our house. God had me where He wanted me. I'm telling you, God probably would have called me to preach a few days or a few months after I got saved if I'd have been living right. I held it up. I think about how much farther I could be. Had I just let God have my life and dedicate my life and separate my life unto Him. Let me ask you this. Are you saved? Have you been born? Do you remember a time? I ain't talking about, I don't know if it was 10 o'clock, 1 o'clock. That ain't what I'm talking about. Do you remember a day, a time when the Spirit of God showed you was a sinner and you bowed somewhere and asked God to forgive you of your sin and to save your soul? That you believe the gospel. If you've never done that, you've never been saved. You got to get saved. I don't care how much you go to church. I don't care how good you are. You must be born again. Amen. You're not a child of God until you get saved. Amen. So are you saved? Secondly, are you separated? Is your life in a position that the Lord can use you? Because I promise you, you're still breathing. He wants to use you. He has a specific job for you. Folks, I'm telling you, we need godly carpenters. We need godly plumbers. We need, to be a witness to that place in the world. Hey, God may put you there doing that. Hey, well, God ain't going to call me to preach. You don't know that. God, if you're breathing, you're saved, but you're not separated. You're not, your life is based and focused on the world. God cannot, you putting God in a place that He cannot do what He desires to do in you. Where are you standing? Where is your attention? Where is your life at the present time? Where is your life with God? Where is it? where, you know, I believe if you're born again, the Lord will show you. If you sincerely want to know. But folks, you know what? The Lord didn't really have to spell it out for me. I knew I was backslid. I knew I was out of the will of God. I knew it. I knew it. I knew. Folks, here's what's sad. I don't know why the Lord has me. I ain't even preached my message, but here's what's sad. When I surrendered to preach, it shocked people I went to school with. And what was going on was they didn't even know who I really was. I tried to blend in with them. I tried to be them. And they had no idea. Now, a couple of my close friends knew that I had a Christian home, went to a Bible-believing church. But as a whole, like I said, I had probably a half a dozen. Folks, I was saved. I had a Christian family, tried to live right. But most of the people, the majority of the people I went to school with had no idea of it. And God could not use me. Because I was over here, living carnal, trying to please the world instead of please God. God chastened me. I'm not going into details, but God exposed me in a couple of things that really got my attention. My life. And what's sad is those things. Parents are just, there's nothing to that. They're teenagers. That's what they do. Please don't do that. Please don't applaud your child for their carnal life. I hid mine from my parents. I hid it. Oh, no, I didn't talk in front of them like I talked in front of my friends. I didn't partake in things in front of them that I partook around my friends. But the Lord knew it. He couldn't use me as long as I was over here in the world, living like them, thinking like them. I get so mad at preachers. See, when y'all get mad at me, the Lord reminds me, say, hey, you're reaping. You're reaping. You remember how you used to roll your eyes at that preacher when he'd get on your sin? You remember how you just look at the floor and get to thinking about something else so you didn't have to hear it? How you tried to call him a fraud and he didn't love and he was this. Hey, that's what carnal Christians do. Because the Holy Spirit will convict them through His Word, and the only scapegoat to God is to find something on the preacher that's preaching it. I've been there. I've done that. So when y'all do it to me, and it's been done many, many, I'm thinking, Lord, I don't think I've done it that much. I'm reminded. They're saved. But they love their sin. They love the lifestyle they're living. And the Lord sent them a word. They don't want it. The Spirit of God's exposing their sin. And all of a sudden, you know how it is. I know how it is. All of a sudden, you get paranoid. The preacher saw me. Somebody told him. You ever had that happen? Preacher don't have a clue what you're doing in your life. And God sends him a message, and he's just preaching what God gave him, and the Holy Ghost is tagging your heart. Bam, bam, bam. And the only thing you can do is repent or reject that message and find fault in the messenger. I know. I've lived that. And I hate it. I regret it. I've apologized to a pastor for it. I went to a particular pastor, my teenager, that had to pastor me in my rebellious time. But see, I had parents when I was back in the back talking and cutting up and whatever, And the preacher said, hey, boys, y'all be quiet. When my parents turned around, they weren't mad at him. They were mad at me. Because I just made them look bad as parents. And believe you me, I dreaded to go home. Not that way anymore. Preacher shouldn't have called my baby out like that. Get mad at the preacher. Forget about the disruption. Forget about the disrespect. Forget. The preacher is wrong. You know what you tell your children? Keep living in sin. Keep living carnal. Don't listen to him. I've lived that. And I've reaped it as a pastor. That's why you get a lot of mercy here. Because God showed me a lot of mercy. So you can still get in the right place. Repent. Get on God's side. Live your life. God will still use you. I'm living proof. Peter cussed and denied the Lord 3 times, but he repented and God used him. You're not unusable. You're just in a place where God can't use you, but you can move from that place. You can get to the place where God can use you. He wants to. He desires to. But you've got it all locked down because you're over here. Unseparated. You're separated to the world, to the God. You're living off of the flesh. Your flesh, my flesh, is still as corrupt. I'm trying to close. It's still as corrupt as it was the day before we got saved. That's right. And gratifying the flesh satisfies the flesh. Yeah, that's right. But it grieves the Holy Ghost. Right. It grieves the Spirit of God. God wants your life. If he didn't, you wouldn't be here. Right. He done took you out of here. Folks, do you believe that somebody lost or saved can keep rejecting and keep living in sin, keep doing it till one day God removes them? That's biblical, you know. He's long suffering, and I praise his name for that. I'm living proof that God is long suffering. Praise his name. I'm glad he's long-suffering. I'm glad he's merciful. And I'm glad he's gracious. But I do believe if I kept going on in that lifestyle as a child of God, there's come a time that he'd have really got my attention. And if I still, I believe he'd have took me out of here, destroyed my flesh. That's what the Word of God says. Be careful. God loves you enough to save you, and he wants you to do something for him. Get in the place where you can. Let's all stand. Miss Courtney's coming to the piano. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, the altar is open. Folks are already coming. Folks, the Spirit of God preached today, and I thank him for it.